Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the SMTC second quarter 2018 earnings call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question and answer session, and instructions will follow at that time. If anyone should require operator assistance during the conference, you may press star then zero on your touch-tone telephone. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to introduce your host for today's conference, Blair McInnis, Vice President of Finance. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you. Before we begin the call, I'd like to remind everybody that the presentation will include statements about expected future events and financial results that are forward-looking in nature and subject to risks and uncertainties. The company cautions that actual performance will be affected by a number of factors, many of which are beyond the company's control, and that future events and results may vary substantially from what the company currently foresees. Discussion of the various factors that may affect future results is contained in the company's annual report on Form 10-K, Form 10-Q, and on subsequent reports on Form 8-K and other filings with the Securities and Exchange Commission. All forward-looking statements are made as of the date of this call, and except as required by law, we do not intend to update this information. This conference call will also be available for audio replay in the investor relations section of SMTC's website at www.smtc.com. I will now pass the call over to Eddie Smith, the company's President and Chief Executive Officer.
Thank you, Blair. Welcome and good morning. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Eddie Smith, SMTC's President and Chief Executive Officer. On this call with me today is Steve Walz, SMTC CFO, and Rich Fitzgerald, our COO. I'm pleased to report that we're exceeding our business plan. Our focus is now on accelerating our growth. After the close of the market yesterday, we reported results for our second quarter of 2018 at the high end of our pre-announcement on July 23rd. We finished the quarter with $44.5 million in revenue, up 34.8% from a comparable quarter last year and 19.8% from prior quarter. Adjusted gross margin improved from 9.5% to 9.8%, while adjusted EBITDA was $1.6 million, which is $5.2 million higher compared to second quarter of 2017. The past year has been important for us as the team has clearly made significant progress in achieving a higher level of operational and financial performance from top to the bottom line. In addition to announcing terms of our rights offering in a press release 2 weeks ago, we provided financial guidance for the remaining quarters of 2018. While we do not intend to provide forward guidance on an ongoing basis, we wanted to ensure that stockholders considering participating in the rights offering had that information. Steve will provide specifics of the guidance later in the call, but let me just say, we believe we have sufficient visibility and confidence in our ability to achieve that guidance with our current plant capacity. During the second quarter, we added 2 new customers and further expanded programs with existing customers. We continue to see strong demand from both existing and new customers with growth in our semiconductor, test and measurement, and medical business lines. Our backlog, barring any future further tightening of the supply chain by electronic component suppliers, should support revenue growth in excess of 25% for the full year in 2018 over 2017, and positive year-over-year trends for our adjusted margins and EBITDA metrics. We remain intensely focused on crisp execution of our business plan with detailed attention to our operational excellence. Industry-leading quality metrics and superior customer on-time delivery. Our Fremont and China sites earned a profit for the first time in 7 quarters collectively. Both sites have won new customers while improving our efficiencies. Our Chihuahua, Mexico site continues to be a showcase, especially in light to the 301 tariff concerns, which we are carefully monitoring, and the leveling of the playing field against China specifically, with labor rates continuing to increase in China rapidly. Our supply chain and operations team are continuing to drive further improvement to meet our customers' commitments, despite reports of industry challenges resulting from increasing demands for certain components, including MLCCs, or multi-layer ceramic capacitors. We now support the needs of 17 customers using some version of a Kanban, which is a highly efficient, lean, just-in-time manufacturing program. While we are pleased with progress to date, we have much to do to capitalize on the opportunities I see for SMTC. To achieve our vision, we are continuing to seek additional programs at our existing customers, as well as continuing to secure new customers. And we are on track to achieve AS9100 accreditation in our Fremont facility this quarter, which will provide an opportunity for us to do and expand into avionics, aerospace, and defense markets. We will also explore M&A opportunities that provide synergistic benefits or high-value end markets to accelerate growth and enhance shareholder value. I'll now hand the call over to Steve to review the financial details and then come back with some additional comments. Welcome, Steve.
Thank you, Eddie, and good morning to everyone. Thank you for joining us this morning. As Eddie commented, revenues for the second quarter were $44.5 million compared to $33 million for the same quarter in 2017. $1.3 million of this revenue reported in the second quarter of 2018 was due to the impact of the new revenue accounting recognition standards, ASC 606. The remainder of our 35% same quarter year-over-year growth was the result of increased orders from existing and new customers and added over the last three quarters. With our expanding revenues, the company has three 10% customers, accounting for 34.8% of total revenues. We saw year-over-year increases in customers in industrial, power, energy, electronic payment processing, and medical industry sectors. Revenues from customers in networking and communication sectors saw slight decreases over the same period a year ago. Gross profit for the second quarter was $4.3 million, or 9.6% of revenues, compared to $1.4 million, or 4.3% of revenues, in the same quarter of 2017. That said, adjusted gross profits in the second quarter, which excludes the impacts of unrealized foreign currency gains or losses, was $4.4 million, or 9.8% as a percentage of revenues, compared to $1.1 million, or 3.4% for the same quarter in 2017. Operating expenses, which are comprised of selling, general, and administrative costs, were $3.6 million in the second quarter of 2018, $463,000, or 11.3% lower than the $4.1 million we recorded in the same quarter of 2017. Further, the company reported a net loss of $97,000 for the second quarter compared to a net loss of $6 million in the same period a year ago. Adjusted EBITDA was positive in the second quarter of 2018 compared to $3.6 million in the quarter a year ago. The increase in the second quarter compared to the same period in the prior year was due to improvements in adjusted gross profit from higher revenues and improved margins and cost reduction efforts. In addition, the second quarter of 2017 included were certain impairments and increased bad debt and inventory associated with the company's restructuring that are not that reoccurred in the second quarter of 2018. Now, before I return the call to Eddie, I'd like to comment on the balance sheet, talk about the third quarter opportunities for us, and comment on the rights offering, which we recently announced. As of the end of the quarter, at the end of the second quarter, we had $2.0 million in cash. We had $19.7 million in net debt, with $10.5 million of available to borrow under our credit line with PNC. $2.7 million was utilized from cash flow from operations in the quarter. This is primarily to support working capital for accounts receivable and inventory for the expanding both expanding revenues in the current quarter and preparing for the future quarters as well. Our cash-to-cash cycle was 61 days compared to 63 days in the prior quarter, with DSOs of 61 days and DPOs of 74 days. Inventory turnover on an annualized basis was 5.0 times in the second quarter of 2018. On July 23rd, we issued a press release that announced the terms of our $13 million rights offerings to holders of our common stock of record at the close of business on such date. Stockholders should carefully read the prospectus supplement, which can be found on our or the SEC's website, www.sec.gov, because it contains both important information, including timing, that on how to exercise and pay for those rights. Unless the company extends the offering period, all rights will expire now at the close of business, 4 p.m. on August 22nd. As indicated in the July 23rd press release, we have received commitments from Red Oak, Winfield, and two of our largest stockholders, as well as members of the board and members of the executive management team and other outside investors with an aggregate who have funded more than $13 million as we project in the current rights offering. As Eddie mentioned earlier, we do not intend to provide further guidance on an ongoing basis. We did provide guidance in our July 23rd press release to ensure that stockholders considering participating in the rights offering had needed to make that decision. For those who did not see the press release, let me quickly summarize Q3 and Q4 guidance as we provided. Q3 revenues in 2018 ranging from $48 to $51 million, up from $34.4 million in the same quarter a year ago, with adjusted EBITDA projected to range between $1.9 to $2.2 million, up from $1.1 million in Q3 of 2017. Q4 revenues will range between $48 to $51 million, up from $38.6 million in the same quarter a year ago, with adjusted EBITDA projected to range between $2.0 and $2.5 million, up from $1.2 million in Q4 2017. For the full year 2018, we expect to see revenues ranging between $178 to $184 million, up 28 to 32% over 2017 levels. And as Eddie commented, the company has made progress for us to see the opportunity to achieve at the higher end, the higher levels of these outlooks provided today. We currently, as Eddie also commented, we currently have capacity to support customer demand in excess of $200 million in our plants as we look forward over the next year. Let me wrap up my comments by reiterating that we are, as a company, driving each quarter to achieve operational excellence in all phases. This includes our financial metrics, as we remain focused on making additional working capital management improvements to accelerate efforts to strengthen our balance sheet, and remain focused on improving both the top and bottom lines. Now I'd like to hand the call back to Eddie to provide some additional comments and certainly take questions that you may have from today's call.
Thanks, Steve. Let me conclude by saying the global demand trends remain strong, and we believe we are taking market share at existing customers and are poised to win over new customers. Our focus on operational excellence is paying off and is allowing us to mitigate the impacts thus far from component shortages that others have reported. In short, we remain on track with our strategic goals and are in fact exceeding our annual business plan. We had a strong Q2 with year-over-year growth in revenue, adjusted gross margin, and adjusted EBITDA. The outlook for the balance of the year looks strong, and we expect to achieve revenue growth in excess of 25% for the full year 2018 over 2017, barring any unforeseen disruptions in the supply chain or impacts from tariffs. I look forward to reporting on future earnings calls our continued progress towards making SMTC a stronger company that delights its customers with superior service and rewards its stockholders with enhanced shareholder value. With that, let's take questions from those on the call.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press the star then the one key on your touch-tone telephone. If your question has been answered or you wish to remove yourself from the queue, please press the pound key. To prevent any background noise, we ask that you please place your line on mute once your question has been stated. Our first question comes from Lucas Davenport, a private investor. Your line is now open.
Hi, good morning. Great quarter.
Thank you, Luke.
Couple questions. I'm sorry, I might have missed this because I listened to the call, started listening to the ones that already started. Could you say who the two new customers were that were mentioned in the release?
Yeah, we don't disclose our customers' names unless they'd like us to, and so far we have not put out a press release on any new customers. All we can say is we have two new customers, and at some point we may start disclosing and putting out press release for our new customers, but that has not been what we do. So
okay, understood. And I just want to make sure I understood this correctly. Roughly 8% of the revenue that was the growth from this for the year-over-year quarter was due to accounting, correct?
No. Only $1.3 million of the increase was due to the accounting. All the remainder was due to increased, shipments revenue from customers.
Okay. Sorry, I thought I said 8%. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe my calculations are off. Is there going to be future share offerings, just like the ones that were done on July 23rd?
At this point, there's no plans to have future share holdings. But you know, obviously, it's like anything. We as we grow and we need capital, or there's any other strategic opportunities to do that, we'll take a look at what's the best way to finance our business. But at this point, we haven't gone past the rights offering. We still need to close that and then see where things go.
Okay, and my last question, thank you. My last question is kind of built on that. So I believe on the call it was mentioned that there's roughly $10 million or so in borrowing capacity from the bank. So this offering is going to raise approximately $13 million, right? Why?
Yes.
I was just curious as to why the bank borrowing was not utilized versus this offering. And second, the second part to that question is, I believe it is also mentioned regarding approximately over $200 million in sales that the factories can accommodate. How much more will this $13 million that was raised, if that's used to purchase additional equipment, how much more will that increase that $200 million by? Thank you.
Sure. So the reason we went and raised the money is for many different reasons that you can see in the press release. We put them out for different corporate purposes, capital equipment, and obviously other potential corporate needs. So, you know, I'll answer your question was, the board thought there was an opportunity now as the business recovered that this would be a good time to raise some capital, potentially even lowering the debt. And so we decided to pull the trigger now. So we didn't put it, and there's no thought about putting it all into equipment because obviously as you grow with customers, you have inventory and other things that you need to also pay for. But at this point, I would just say you need to refer to the press release on what we're going to use the funds for. As far as the growth over $200 million in our factories, and the way our ABL works, Lucas, is as we grow and we have more assets, which is inventory receivables, our actually availability from the bank also grows. So, you know, we have $10.5 million today at the end of the quarter. But as we continue to grow, that number may grow up, or we may use that for inventory or other things. So I would tell you our capacity today, as we look at capacity, and if we grow in a much more normalized state than, you know, big clumps, we're probably okay to grow. And, you know, I'd say it this way. If we could keep our cash-to-cash conversion in below 60, and at the rate that we use money, we could actually grow pretty significantly, I would say, without raising any more money. So I don't see raising money just to run the business as a viable option at this point for a very long time.
And Lucas, this is Steve Wanzek. Just to go back to your question on the rev rec and the revenue and the county centers, if you look at Q1 of 2018 versus Q2, we grew revenues by about $7,359,000. Of that, $1,003,000 was related to the accounting revenue recognition standard. So $6 million of that number is all based on customer demand increases. So you can see here it was substantial around the customer demand increases, just for clarity.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question at this time, please press star and one. Our next question comes from Harry Venezia with Healthcare Capital. Your line is now open.
Thank you. I really appreciate the guidance you give for the next few quarters and the excellent performance in the second quarter. But my question has to do with just one thing. As a company is poised to grow, and I'm sure that's, you know, the primary purpose of the rights offering, can you give us some idea of how much working capital you expect the company to need over the next 12 months? I do see the $2.7 million was used in this just finished quarter.
Yeah, I would say thank you for your question. This is Steve Watts, the CFO. As we look towards our modeling and we show quarters that, you know, far exceed what we're showing for Q3 and Q4 our outlooks, we see in the range of, you know, $4 to $5 million of working capital requirements as we go forward. We did this quarter increase inventory beyond what we would normally do based on supply chain. As we look at our customers, they give us forecasts that are somewhere between 6 to 12 months out. So with that and the tightening supply chain, we did do a little more investment in inventory to make sure we have the supply we needed to fill that demand and never have a customer, you know, line down and not be able to ship to them. So as we look forward, we're going to have less growth in working capital as we grow the business. But if I look at my model here going out, it's probably in the range of, you know, maximum $5 million, but maybe $3 to $5 million, somewhere in that range of this increase in working capital.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. This concludes today's Q&A session. I would now like to turn the call back over to Eddie Smith for closing remarks.
Thank you. I'd like to remind you that we will be participating at the Canaccord Genuity 38th Annual Growth Conference in Boston tomorrow. Information about this event is posted on our investor relations section of our website. In closing, I want to thank our employees, the leadership, business partners, our distributors, and our investors for their support, and look forward to reporting our progress over the next several quarters. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in today's conference. This does conclude the program. And we all disconnect. Everyone have a great day.